is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Today's show is brought to you by Paul's Automotive. Paul's Automotive is located at 634 Route 46 in Kenville, New Jersey. If you want a master mechanic who has over 38 years of experience with quality work, he's your guy to call. He strives to keep you in a safe and reliable vehicle, and his goal is to make your experience as pleasurable and convenient as possible. It's not like you're dropping your car off and you're getting somebody named Joe Blow who's working on your car. Paul's the guy that'll be working on your car, and he gives you a reasonable price. We're proud to say that he's helped Autism Radio many times to keep our vehicle safe and reliable on the road. So he's your guy to give a call today at 973-584-1035. Remember, he's always committed to quality, and he's pleasurable to work with, and he is very helpful. So give him a call today at 973-584-1035 today.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org. Home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at autismdonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, Master Chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back on another edition of Hope Saves the Day. I'd also like to welcome back to the program my co-host, Lynn Glukoff.
Hi, Paul. How are you today?
Good, Lynn. It's great to have you back on today. We have a great topic to talk about that's really important. It's about choosing the right job for people with autism or Asperger's syndrome. Jobs really need to be chosen to make use of the strengths of people with autism or Asperger's syndrome. Because, you're going to have a variation of both high and low functioning people that have a very poor short-term working memory, but they often have better long-term memory than most people. Whereas some people will have great difficulty with tasks that put high demands on short-term working memory, like some cannot handle multiple tasks at the same time. And basically, I'm going to go through a list of tables, and this is, I call this table one, and these are bad jobs I consider for people with high-functioning autism or Asperger's syndrome. These are jobs that require high demands on short-term working memory. And now, this is not for everybody, but this is a general list that was compiled by experts in the autism field. The first one was a cashier. As far as making change quickly, it puts too much demand on short-term working memory. A shorter cook, having to keep track of many orders and to cook many different things at the same time. A waitress, especially difficult if you have to keep track of many different tables. A casino dealer. Too many things to keep track of. A taxi dispatcher, way too many things to keep track of. Taking oral dictation, it's very difficult on their auditory processing, and it causes a lot of problems, okay? An airline ticket agent dealing with angry people when flights are canceled. Future market trader, almost totally impossible for the most part. Air traffic controllers, information overload and a lot of stress. Not sure if I agree, because I think there could be some on the spectrum that do maybe very well, but I guess in general, they're saying in general terms that these jobs are not good. Receptionist or a telephone operator, might have problems when the switchboard got overly busy.
Right.
Now this next list compiles of good jobs for visual thinkers. Computer programming, it's a wide open field with many jobs available, especially in industry, automation, software design, business computers, communications, and network systems. I mean, this definitely, that's probably like the number one job for many Asperger's and adults and teenagers with autism. They really thrive with the computers. I mean, they just do amazing stuff with programming. A lot of the programmers do have some form of autism, whether high functioning or even lower functioning. They can do this kind of work really well. Drafting, engineering of drawings, computer-aided drafting. The job also can open up many opportunities. It's an excellent portrayal of entry for many interesting technical jobs. And I know a lot of people who started out in a company maybe doing drafting, and they moved into designing and even laying out a factory. And to really become skilled at drafting, the person needs to learn how to draw by hand first. And most people who draw beautiful drawings on a computer learn to draw by hand first. And people who never learn to draw by hand first tend to leave important details out of their drawings. So that's just a little bit of a pointer. So if you're thinking at home, you know, you have a child in their teenage years, has autism, you know, this gives you a little bit of insight into, you know, possible careers and jobs for them. Another one is good is commercial art, advertising, magazine layout can be done as freelance work. Photography is another great one. Still or video, TV cameraman can also be done as freelance work as well. Designing equipment, a lot of industries, often a person starts as a draftman and then moves into designing factory equipment. Animal trainers, a veterinary technician, someone that does dog obedience training, behavior problem consultant. Another good one could be an automobile mechanic. They can visualize how the entire car works. Also, computer troubleshooter and repair. Again, it's computers. Another area in computers that they can go into. Small appliance and lawnmower repair. I know this is good. They can have a nice, even local business of repairing lawnmowers. And, you know, it gives them something to do. Many, many parents, I've read stories and I've been sent stories over the years, Lynn, where a parent, you know, had a son who liked to tinker and fix lawnmowers and like weed whackers. Next thing you know, he's got 20 clients in the neighborhood bringing their lawnmowers for oil changes and tune-ups. And,
right.
You know, he made some money that way and he kept himself busy and, you know, it gave him a purpose, you know.
Right.
That's
right.
The whole thing. It's about is giving these kids opportunities that they can do a lot of really good work if they're given the right tools and finding the right job that suits them. You know, I always wonder about Jonathan, and I know you wonder about Michael, if there ever will come a time or point in their lives that they might be able to work and do something. I don't know. I don't know. That's tough to think that way. I mean, yeah. I always, you know, have hope that Jonathan will be able to do a task or a job. I mean, I always had this idea of like opening my own little like health foods type store,
mm-hmm.
Where, you know, he could do maybe some simple tasks like, you know, if I give him a box of something, putting on the shelves, maybe give him a labeler and maybe putting labels on bottles or something very simple right now at this point, has to be very simple for him to do.
And you don't know what's, you know, he's still young.
Yeah, well, that's the whole problem. It's hard to picture the future. I mean, some parents now at this stage, they already know, like, what their kids are interested in. And
right.
Generally speaking, it is the higher functioning
right.
end of the spectrum, generally. But then again, there's also a lot of children on lower end that have certain things that they do repetitively and they're interested in, whether it's drawing.
I mean, like I would say with Michael, and I think as they get older, too, you get more in tune with certain things. Definitely is visual thinker. Like sometimes he surprises me. Like we'll go to a parking lot and I'll be like, "Well, where's our car, Michael?" And he can find it. Like I won't remember where I put it, but he'll remember. You know, so like they're smarter than you think they are.
Oh, absolutely.
Always, you know.
Yeah.
And then with music, I just posted a video lately of him, you know, dancing. He's definitely got a big, you know, an ear for music, and that's a huge issue for. I mean, a huge talent for a lot of these kids. They're very into music and dancing and. I don't know where that could lead, but, I mean, he definitely, like, it's amazing to me sometimes. Like, I'll sing him a song that I haven't sang to him since he was, like, a little kid, and he'll remember the tune. I mean, he's got some ear for it, you know. It's just amazing to me. So, you know, that could lead. Yeah, I mean, you start seeing things, and now, all of a sudden, he's definitely a visual. Like I said, you know, he will sit for a movie that has music, as long as it has music in it. And even now...
It triggers his interest. It keeps his interest.
Definitely, yeah, if he knows the songs. Like, he was obsessed with Tangled for the longest time, and that was his first movie, really, that he actually sat through the whole movie. Oklahoma, too, when he was really little. But anything that he recognizes the songs from, he wants to watch the movie. And he'll remember, you know, he'll actually start dancing before the song comes on. He knows exactly when the song is coming on.
Right.
It just amazes me sometimes, the things that he remembers, you know.
Well, it's true. It's just, you know, they're always surprising us, Lynn. And I think we were just talking about this, you and I, the other day. You know, it's amazing how, you know, Michael has surprised you tremendously this year. He's had a tremendous year with a lot of new surprises.
Yes.
You know, and you know, that gives us hope at the end of the day. That's what this is all about, this program and everything that we do here is about keeping that hope alive and showing that, you know, these kids have a purpose and they have things that they can do. And the thing is, never give hope up on, you know, never give up hope on your child is always my big key phrase.
Yeah,
I always like
that
to say
they can be contributed to. I mean, I remember hearing when I was really young, when Michael was really young, that these kids are given menial jobs. These people in general are given menial jobs just because they have a disability. And now I think the world is more receptive to they need to be mainstreamed into society and be, you know, used purposefully in society. You know, they can do purposeful jobs. Why does it have to be a menial task or,
right.
you know? And you do see it more when you go into like a supermarket or, you know, it's starting to be part, they're trying to really integrate people with disabilities, you know, which is a good thing.
Absolutely. Well, you know, companies are finally realizing what a valuable asset they can be to their companies.
Exactly.
Just a few more. I want to run through this list. I'm not going to, you know, talk about them all, but these are for visual thinkers. A few more jobs mentioned that, you know, might hit somebody at home and say, wow, my son or my daughter can do this. Handcrafts are very good. Many different types of wood carving, jewelry making, ceramics. Sometimes could be a laboratory technician who modifies and even builds specialized lab equipment. Web page design can find a good niche in a market, and a lot of freelance work can be done. Building trades, a carpenter, a welder, you know, these jobs are good use of their visual skills, but some of them may not be able to do it due to their motor or coordination problems.
Yeah, the motor planning.
So that's one drawback on that. A video game designer, you know, it's a tough field to be right in right now because the field is way, way overcrowded in general. But there's many more jobs in the industry of communication, business, and software design, computer programming. But, you know, another bad thing they were saying, too, is that some of this job can be exposure to violent images, too, like in video games. So they don't want to say that or expose, you know, kids,
right.
I guess. But, you know, computer animation, again, that falls again in that same line, you know, business are recruiting now, unfortunately, overseas now. So there's also a shortage of good programmers in the business and industrial fields. Building maintenance is another good one. Fixing broken pipes and windows in apartment complexes, hotels, or even an office building. Factory maintenance, repairs, and fixes factory equipment. You know, it's funny. I have one of the schools I worked at last year. One of the gentlemen had was on the spectrum. And he worked in grounds and maintenance, and he was great at his job. He took a lot of pride in his work. He might not have been as fast as the other guys, but let me tell you, as far as the follow-through and the quality work, he did it way better than the other guys. You know, so
well,
I did notice
too.
That.
I think that when I do see people with disabilities, I think there's two cashiers that I know of in different stores, and some of them really put so much into it, you know, and they're so proud of their job, and they probably put more into it than a typical neurotypical person who has the same job, you know.
It's very
true. I mean, they work hard, and they're proud of what they do, and, you know, how do we say that about, you know, the average teenager who gets a job? You know what I mean?
No, you don't. And they show up on time. They're very prompt. They want to be on time, you know.
They're very important to them.
And
they have good hearts, you know. Like, I'll bring Michael to the store, and I get a cashier who's got a disability, and they relate to me, you know. And they say, have a nice day. And they're good people, you know. They're good people. I mean, I'm making a generalization. I mean, I'm sure there's some that aren't nice people, but I mean, the people that work there are usually very nice, you know.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the companies are going to screen and find out who they think would be good candidates, too.
Right.
But this year, also, just going to run down this list really quick. These are good jobs for non-visual thinkers. Those are maybe good at math or music or facts. Things like accounting, library science, computer programming, again, engineering, a journalist, a copy editor, a taxi driver who knows where every street is, inventory control, keeping track of all the merchandise in a store, either tuning pianos or other musical instruments can be done as freelance work, a laboratory technician, a bank teller, clerk filing jobs, knows where all the files are, a telemarketer, a statistician, works in many different areas such as research, census bureaus, U.S. Department of Agriculture, etc., a physicist or a mathematician. There's very few jobs in that field, but only the very brilliant can really get or keep a job in that area. But that's just to give you a list and an idea of some things that are out there. These are jobs for nonverbal people with autism or very poor verbal skills. Reshelving library books, can memorize the entire numbering system and shelf locations. A factory assembly worker, especially in an environment is a quiet environment. A copy shop, someone that can run photocopies and printing jobs, should be lined up by everybody else. Janitorial jobs, cleaning floors, toilets, windows, and offices. Restocking shelves in many different types of stores. Work in a recycling plant, sorting jobs, sorting recycling. A warehouse can be loading trucks, stacking boxes. Lawn and garden work is real good. I know there's a lot of autistics in the right now out there in the workforce doing landscaping work, like mowing lawns and raking leaves and stuff. Can make a nice living doing that. Data entry, but if the person has fine motor problems, this would be a very tough job for them. Fast food restaurant, cleaning and cooking jobs with little demand of the short-term memory. And also working in a garden or a greenhouse, like taking care of plants, or even working for a company that does plant care that actually goes to large office complexes that waters the plants and prunes the plants. So it just gives you an idea of some jobs that are out there. They are available. So, you know, you can kind of judge by your child. It gives you some ideas. It gives you a starting point, because I think, you know, a lot of times you say, oh my God, what can he do? And you get so overwhelmed, you can't think of anything. So by kind of going through that list, hopefully it gives you a few ideas of some things that are out there that are available and that people with autism are already doing out there. And companies are really getting on the train, I call it, of hiring individuals with autism and disabilities as well. So it's a great
thing.
I'm
sure you're going to get calls and comments. Can we have a copy of that list, Paul? Because that's a really good list. I mean, that's really informative. So
no, it's great. You know, no, we're happy to have that. So
yeah. I mean, it's definitely something to think. Oh, when you were talking about Jonathan and opening a shop with him, I have a friend a while ago did the exact thing that you talked about. She opened her own business with her husband, or her son, you know, was working in the back and helping them. And that's the thing. A lot of people, we just posted recently about someone who opened a car wash, and
yes,
he built this company for his, you know, his himself and his son. And I think a lot of men tend to want to do some things like that, like be able to build something up from the grounds and have their child be involved with, you know, some kind of a family business, which, I mean, is the dream, you know, obviously.
Absolutely,
you know, it's
absolutely.
It's probably hard, but it's definitely worth thinking about, you know.
Yeah, if you can do something, you can definitely make a difference. You know, if you're thinking about opening up a business, think about hiring someone with autism for disabilities, because, like I said, they'll make incredible employees.
Right.
And you'll be really, really surprised how much of a value they will be to your business.
And also to that end, when Michael is going to high school, and I'm sure this is happening in a lot of programs, a lot of people I speak to online, that their kids are starting in high school, Michael, high school now, starting to do pre-vocational skills, whereas they're doing assembling. Like right now he's doing sorting. They're starting to work on those skills so that when he does graduate, he will have some marketable skills. And this is something that, you know, they're working on in his program already, and I see the difference. Like he's got some skills, and they try to do that, and then by the time high school comes, get them out in the community, get them into an internship where they're working for a company, and they really work on that, you know, in the program that he's in, which was one of the reasons we moved him into this program, was to get him started as early as possible, going out into the community and getting out there, and they have different, throughout the county, they have different contracts with different places, so.
Yeah, that's great. There is a lot of schools that do that, too, now. And they're working with a lot of companies. I mean, we're working with a few different companies right now, too, that help, you know, support the autism community for work. We got one job working with the dolls that we had back in the day. Also got someone a job working with Project Lifesaver, working on building the the actual track and control devices for children with autism. Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of different things out there, and, you know, it just gives you some options, and it's basically just helping you choose a potential job for your child, for their future, you know.
Right.
And like I said, we don't know when it's going to be. You know, they could be 16, they could be 25, you know, when they start. So you don't know.
Right.
You know, so
there
like
are a
I
lot
said.
Of day programs out there, too, where they, after 21, they take them out, too. I've been reading from some of the people who have older, you know, older kids. They put them in a day program, and during the day they take them out, you know. So, I mean, there's a lot of things going on right now that, because there are so many kids that are going to be having this. Right. So there's got to be more focus out there for kids, you know.
Definitely.
In the next 10 years. I mean, the reach it is.
Now, the kind of work here at Autism Radio, too, Lynn, is for the future. And, you know, we have the dream of the Hope House, which can open up a whole bunch of job opportunities and a day program for many people that can't afford, you know, one of these programs, because a lot of these programs they have to pay for. They're not free.
Right.
And they're very, very costly.
Right.
So
the government keeps cutting.
So right. And make it harder. That's why, you know, that's why we're here to try to, like I said, the future of the program. So that's why we're looking for, you know, some big sponsors out there to really see the dream through. Because I have a dream of the Hope House and opening up, you know, first one here in New Jersey, and hopefully opening up many more across the country eventually is the ultimate goal. You know, for the future of Autism Radio. That's what I envision. So, but right now we're helping families every day. And, like I said, on that note, we have our event coming up on September the 18th, Lynn, which I know you and I will be there, and the whole Autism Radio team, as well as the former New Jersey Devil 3-time Stanley Cup winner, Kenny Danico, will be present as well as the former Miss New Jersey and the current Miss East Coast International, Briella Costa, also be in attendance. As well as, don't forget, guys, we got our couple special, and you don't want to miss out on this. Right now, we have a deal for you. So if you get on this deal, it expires on September the 4th, guys. It's only a couple weeks away, so you don't want to miss out on this. But you can get 2 tickets right now for $150 for casino night. Plus, we're going to throw in $150 in casino chips, okay? That's a great deal, guys, for a full buffet, a full premium open bar. Plus, you're getting each $75 each in casino chips. We have a silent auction with some incredible prizes, guys. We just got confirmation that we will have the John Bon Jovi guitar on display for you to bid on, and even just to check it out, because it's, like I said, it's a really cool piece. We have a piece from the movie Casino, signed by Robert De Niro and the cast from the movie Casino, which is one of my favorites. Most guys do love that movie. And we actually have a great Tony Soprano, James Gandolfini signed autograph as well. And that's a piece that you can really treasure. So if you're a huge fan of The Sopranos, you know, James Gandolfini was a wonderful man, very supportive of the autism community. We're lucky enough to get a piece of his memorabilia to our event. And, you know, we you know, wish his family, and we thank them for getting this for the event. So we're really excited to tell you guys that. So you don't want to miss out on that. Also, the event runs from 7 to 11 at the Bethwyn in Totowa, New Jersey. Single tickets are $95 per person. But guys, listen, you can get 2 tickets right now for $150. You don't want to miss on that deal. So jump on it now. Get yourself a table. A lot of people now are buying tables up of 10. That's 10 per table. So for $750, you can have your own private table for a great night, you know, at the Bethwood, which is a really nice facility. They have one of the best buffets and best food in the catering industry here in the tri-state area. They're definitely known for their food. They have tremendous food, and you also get a premium open bar. And we have Tumbling Dice, one of the best casino companies for nonprofits out there working for us for that night. It's going to be tremendous. You don't want to miss out. So if you love to gamble and you don't feel like driving Atlantic City or flying out to Vegas, it's a great opportunity to play some tremendous games, guys. We got blackjack, you got poker there, you got roulette, you got craps. I mean, you got everything. Everything you can imagine at a casino will be there at casino night. And we have some great prizes and some amazing, amazing auction items. So you definitely don't want to miss out on that.
And dancing.
Oh, yeah, and dancing, too, absolutely. So you can bring your significant other and, you know, get some good dancing for people that don't want to gamble. See, that's a great thing too, Lynn, and I'm glad you brought that up. But we also have, you know, you don't have to gamble to, you know, win prizes. You can buy a book, a booklet of tickets and drop them into the prizes as well. So the thing is with the gambling, if you win big, you can win a lot of tickets, and it gives you more and more chances to win some of the amazing prizes that we're going to have at the auction. So
it's gonna be a fun night, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't want to miss it. It's a Friday night, guys. It's September. The kids are back in school at that time. And, you know, it's just another way I look at it like this, almost like to try to extend the summer a little bit. You know, it's a Friday night out. You know, you can have go out with your buddies, your girlfriends, you know, whatever you want to do, you can have a night out and get together with friends and make a difference in the autism community and helping a great organization like ours that are really out there to make a difference every day. So, you know, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a great event. I know Lynn and Company will be there, so we're excited to have her. And, you know, we're definitely going to have a good time. So we're looking forward to it. So we want to thank everybody for their continued support on the program every week. And don't forget, this week's closing song is Hope Saves the Day. It's available on iTunes. It's written by Paul Simms, C-I-M-I-N-S. You can look it up. 99 cents for the download, and all the money goes to autismradio.org. So it's another great way to give back and get yourself a great song. I think it's a really powerful, emotional song. Like I said, I wrote it for my son when he was 10 years old. And I don't, you know, and so I share you my heart there on that song. So, and a lot of people have been able to identify that song a lot with child, especially a nonverbal child, especially. So, So at the end of this show, you'll hear Hope Saves Day. I hope you enjoy it. And don't forget to call us at 1-877-HOPE-777 or email us at questions@autismradio.org. Wish everybody a great week. And remember, get those casino tickets today. And remember, until next time, everybody, Hope Saves the Day. Goodbye, everyone.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside. Please help me understand, what is your world like? I want to feel your love. I want to know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought that you cannot feel, a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound that you cannot make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling. I want you to know how it feels to be me. I wish you could look into my world and see how I see. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope. Each day, let this song be my voice. And remember, hope saves the day. Show you what I see. What kind of life will I have? What's in store for me? Don't be afraid, just love and hold me. I can be all that I can be. With your love I can do anything. With your love I can see the world like rays of light shine upon me, inside of me. There you are right by my side. I will love you till the end of time. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope. Let this song be my voice. And remember, hope saves. stepped in.